Shields down versus armor up. Let's talk about that. So armoring up is being in that place of fight or flight. Cortisol goes up, testosterone goes down, progesterone, estrogen go down. This is something that we can think of, that it's just that mindset. Remember, we're always with ourselves. We can't remove it like BPA or phthalates or whatever it may be.
If someone doesn't have that energy to break through, to not be overwhelmed by all the changes, it's like, oh, I'm doing so many things wrong. I need to do all these things. Mm-hmm. If you can't get them to say, yes, I can, and that's one of the hardest things, like dealing with toxicity. It's too overwhelming. I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to drink more wine. Mm-hmm. F it.
How many people that have been married for 10 years, they've been together for the longest time, can't look in each other's eyes?
If you could have the ability to remove a toxin from this world, what would it be?
The loss of the connection. At the root is probably shame, and that is...
Jessica, I'm so happy to have you on the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
This is our second time.
It is.
Getting to talk, and we hit it off about a year ago, talking about infertility and how that's connected to mindset. And that was a 60-second clip. And I, you know, there's so much we could talk about, but I think because we never were able to fully talk about that type of, the type of toxicity, the mental toxicity that affects pregnancy, this is going to be an amazing show. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me, Warren.
Let's get into your story just quickly. I think it's best told instead of in a bio being read, but how did we get here? Like, because you've shared a little bit with me, and from what I can tell, you didn't have to do this.
No.
You come from some genius, genetics, you know, superior brain power here. You've had a lot of opportunity. You've done really well for yourself. And then you landed into this space that's, you know, not an easy space, not an easy space for people to believe in how our minds affect us so much. Now, with the work of like Joe Dispenza and some of the stuff that's coming up, love him or hate him, there's some real science there, right? It's changing genetic testing. So you didn't have to be here. You didn't have to go into this space, but you and I both know this is one of the core toxins. It's a pillar. And how we move forward as humanity, and how we get to where we need to be, right? It's the final layer. It's the frontier of healing.
It very much
the new frontier of healing. So bring us here. Bring us how we came to this space that you're now in.
If I just comment on that, and then I'll get to my story also. I think it's so hard to talk about thoughts and emotions being part of what we need to address because it's so hard. It's not
hard.
Like removing a toxin like your BPA from your home.
Yeah.
You're always living with your mind.
Yeah.
So
it's easier to switch a cleaner out. Yeah, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly. And then say, oh, I'm done with that. It's a constant decision every day to be able to do that. So how I got here, my background's biochemistry. I worked very hard in the biochemistry space, and then I went into medicine. I'm a physician assistant, spent 20 years in obstetrics and gynecology, but because my biochemistry background was so strong, I was practicing biochemistry-based systems, biology-based medicine without knowing it even existed at that point, then discovered functional medicine and went into the IFM track, so Institute for Functional Medicine, and then started helping people in this space, just healing and being better, you know, OBGYN. I ended up on my own infertility journey. I ended up with assistance prior to my functional medicine training, where I used assistance to be able to conceive preterm labor at 24 weeks, delivery at 32 weeks, 2-3 pound babies. At 18 months, my son was assessed for autism. My daughter had behavioral impulse control issues. I healed them with functional medicine and immediately thought, I need to heal all the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, that's ridiculous. You've never spent time in pediatrics. So I thought, why don't you prevent it in the first place? So I started working with women and in turn their husbands to be able to optimize egg and sperm health to prevent these kinds of issues. And then we were resolving infertility. People that were in IVF that failed IVF didn't know what else to do. They'd come to me and I'd say, you want to try something outside of the box? And they would say yes. And I would have them doing functional medicine work and they would get pregnant. So I was only helping 13 people at a time. That doesn't mean 13 people a week. It means 13 people over 3 to 6 months, spending my evenings coaching them, training them, teaching them the things they needed to know in order to heal themselves. And it wasn't enough. So I basically was trying to find a way out, magically ended up pulled out of that space by a laboratory. I became the VP of Medical Affairs in that space where I learned corporate, I learned scaling, I learned structure, I learned educating medical providers on functional medicine in a way that they could listen and hear. Yeah. At that point, after 3 years, I was called to, you are off mission. You need to get out there and get these babies in the world and healthy babies. And so I started, I built De Novo Fertility, went into an incubator program, and won a pitch competition, got some attention, got a little funding, have a beautiful team. We have an 80% success rate in helping people conceive.
That's, I mean, the foundation of, you know, sick kid, sick family.
Yes.
And there's nothing better than looking into a healthy kid's eyes, knowing that you've done everything you can. And I know that we, before we conceived, we detoxed, we did a lot of functional medicine. Of course, I bet it was in this space for 18 years, but we wouldn't even think about getting pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Without both of us doing a bunch of detoxification, healing, diet, the right kinds of fats, making sure our nutrient levels were optimized for all the science that shows that.
Right.
But so many moms do not know that, right? And then they have a child, and then the challenges begin. Something you love so much, seeing it suffer. Not it, them, you know, this beautiful soul. And the work you're doing is absolutely brilliant. So let's dig in to some of the strategies that you use. And even, you know, let's go. If it's if it's woo-woo, I don't care, right? Yeah, we're here to learn.
We're not really woo-woo, but I think some people might think that we are because of some of the techniques we do.
They think I'm woo-woo.
Well, when we look
who
is they, after all? When we look at even just how we're told to get pregnant in the first place. First, you're told don't have sex until you're married, and this is shameful in all of these areas. Then you get married, and everyone turns to you and says, when are you having a baby? So you go immediately from one extreme to another.
That's so
and
true.
That is, so that is something for all people, whether you're suffering from infertility or not. We have this mind shift we're supposed to have of not allowed, not allowed, not allowed, to this is what you're supposed to be doing, or there's something wrong. So that's something that we have to break down our mind. It is a dirty system, you know. So we are working in our program. The first thing we address, infertility or no infertility, we have these baby blocks, and this is what we discussed last year. And I know we had a little pushback on what do you mean baby blocks, but this is it. You know, there's the conscious mind. That's our 5% that we know we're thinking all of the time, and then there's a 95% subconscious that are those tapes that are telling us what we truly believe at the core of our being. And at the core of our being, we have these little shame spirals associated with sex or fertility or intimacy and connection that we need to address in a lot of instances. So we first start you with biofeedback. So we use HeartMath. So when you get into I'm going to talk about our flagship program. We do have programs from smaller rollout programs to our flagship program, which is our intensive, usually for people who have had a miscarriage, or they've tried IVF, or they do not want to do IVF, but that seems to be their last resort. This is our flagship program. It's called the VIP program. And so what we do right away is we get you into biofeedback because we need to get your nervous system balanced. So let's go back to nervous system. So when we have these, it can be little tiny thoughts. It doesn't matter. You know, you hear about microaggressions in ways, and these are like micro systems of autonomic nervous system dysfunction where it's just a little shutdown. So we need to be able to take care of that to the best of our ability. So we help you with breath work and with biofeedback so that we can get you into your parasympathetic, which is your rest, digest, and procreate state versus your fight or flight. So your rest, digest, procreate, our cortisol comes down, which allows for women our progesterone and estrogen to be higher. So those are our fertility hormones. In men, cortisol goes up, testosterone goes down. So the first thing we want to do is
this is why people don't have sex.
They don't. Well, it is.
Married couples don't have sex because they're stressed out and they're not in that right state
so
and
much.
They yell at each other. And then maybe one is on one day and one is on the other and they're not connecting at the same time when one is in rest and one isn't in rest. And that just doesn't connect, especially when you have kids.
You know, I think we're going to go all over the place, and I think we should just own it and go from there, because the other thing we teach is Tantra. We teach Intro to Tantra. We are a couples program in this, especially when you have infertility.
A healthy way of using Tantra.
Well, Tantra is just the interweaving of yourself. And basically it's a deep knowing and a deep connection with your own system so you can connect with your partner. This isn't Kama Sutra. We aren't teaching that. We are basically doing eye gazing and breathing in synchrony. Mm-hmm. And we help people in this space. And you'd be surprised how many people that have been married for 10 years, they've been together for the longest time, can't look in each other's eyes. So we are getting a level of intimacy together, and we're also teaching eroticism. So we're allowing you to not just have that intimate space of closeness, but even with Esther Perel's work, if you're too close, then you lose the erotic. So we make sure you have both the intimacy and the erotic space. So we're taking people who have now in infertility, they're having sex as a job, like doing the dishes, and they're not enjoying it. And then they look at their partner like, is this really who I want to be with? Mm-hmm. And they get further and further apart. Mm-hmm. We're getting them closer and closer together. We are trying to remind them that this is now for a purpose. Yes, do have fun, and they're having a lot of fun, but make sure that you're also getting the sperm where it needs to be, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah,
you know, make sure that you're still having as much fun as you want to have. But in the end, we are actually doing this for a purpose, which is the opposite of where most of these people with infertility end up.
Yeah, it's like groundbreaking. Like, hey, you know, it's like, it's a duty. I need to have kids, especially. I come from LDS land, beautiful people. I am not LDS, but this duty, this pressure to have more kids and and their marriages have a hard time and to hold up on images. And so I see that really heavy. And no, I'm not blaming the faith. I'm just saying that's a fact. I mean, I feel the pressure. There are a lot of my close friends, and it's really hurtful. And then the women are pretty beat up too, because they're not healthy and they're having all these children, and their emotions are, you know, and hormones are out of whack, and they're just having a hard time. And so this is important stuff.
It is. And what we are doing with these couples, we are getting them connected. So we also teach nonviolent communication, which is Marshall Rosenberg's work, which is, it doesn't have anything to do with violence. It has to do with how to communicate that isn't triggering. And we do imago dialogue training. So basically, instead of saying, you made me feel this way, and then the other person, you know, retracts in shame, guilt, or anger, basically it's, you're my partner, we're in this together, I'm feeling a certain kind of way, I need your support. And because you love me so much, I can count on your support here with me.
That's how my wife communicates to me.
It's perfect. Well, that's why you have a wife. And yes, a healthy family.
That's how she approaches me every time. She's like,
exactly,
I love you, Warren. You're amazing. But, you know, or and, you know, she doesn't.
And,
but, yeah.
And,
and, you know, I just want this to be better. So can we work on this, you know, you doing this and how you communicate with me? Would you? And then all my shields are down. But,
right,
you know,
well,
and then
so let's go there.
And
your
of course,
shields are down.
Yeah, of course, I want to help you. Yes, I want to be better. Show me how to be better.
Right.
I love you.
Yeah, so those terms, shields
down. Does
that
really matter to you that much?
So
much. Of course, I'll
do it. Shields down versus armor up. Let's talk about that. So armoring up is being in that place of fight or flight. Cortisol goes up, testosterone goes down, progesterone, estrogen go down. This is something that we can think of, that it's just that mindset. Remember, we're always with ourselves. We can't remove it, like BPA or phthalates or whatever it may be. So we start in the very beginning with that. We start with biofeedback. And then we start 2 weeks later, we get you into hypnotherapy. And hypnotherapy is a light hypnotherapy. It's something that we do group based. And what we do is we address the primary baby blocks, which can even be, you wouldn't think this, you know, somebody who wants a baby, we've been trying for 5 years. There is a baby block of, when I bring a child into my life, how am I going to have any freedom?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think that when we want a baby so badly, but these are those thoughts that we've had, or our subconscious space. Even that thought, like we said, about
so many couples
having sex
in Utah, you know, have that all the time. It's like, I'm going to lose my freedom. I'm not going to be able to travel. I'm not going to be able to do rock climbing. I'm not going to go skiing, these outdoor things. So therefore, I am not going to have a child.
Yeah, that's it. And even when you say you want a child, and then you get to an age where you say, okay, I've done a lot of it. I still want to do more.
Yeah.
But I'm 35. Maybe we should have a baby now. Yes, we probably should, because the clock is ticking. So let's get started on that. But the mindset doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. We still have it. So what we go in is we go in and we break down those baby blocks in a light hypnotherapy. And then you listen to that for 21 days. And it's monumental. So when we get you out of fight or flight, so fight or flight, our fertility hormones are off balance. So when we get you into rest, digest, and procreate, that helps the balance. We have all of these other things we do too. We have supplements that help balance your hormones. We have supplements that help increase testosterone up to 40% for men, and motility, morphology, and sperm count. We have supplements that take 70 to 90 day cycles and make them 28 day cycles in as little as 6 weeks. So we have a lot of supplement help. And then we have our lifestyle modification. All of the pillars that we have, so those are, we do stress, and that's where we put our relationship work, and stress, nutrition, and we have anti-inflammatory low glycemic index nutrition plan that is high in nutrient content for what we want for egg and sperm health. We do exercise, the appropriate exercise for men and women who are trying to conceive. We do sleep.
You guys do a lot.
We do a ton. We do all of the main pillars. But think about it, when you are not trying to conceive, maybe it's a woman and we're going to a family reunion this summer, and so I want to lose 10 pounds because my family reunion is coming. And you're like, okay, this is what most women think. Do I diet or do I exercise? Doing both is going to be too much because it's too much to fit into your lifestyle. So when we want you to do all of these pillars, and you know, including the relationship work, we need you to be okay in your mindset and in your autonomic nervous system. So we have to regulate that first, and then people can easily or more easily get into our program, and we have great success with that.
Yeah, so what I've seen, if someone doesn't have that energy to break through, to not be overwhelmed by all the changes, it's like, oh, I'm doing so many things wrong, I need to do all these things. Mm-hmm. If you can't get them to say, yes, I can.
Right.
And that's one of the hardest things, like dealing with toxicity. It's too overwhelming. I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to drink more wine. Right.
Yeah.
F it.
That's
right.
It. Yeah.
And so I'm never going to have a kid. F it. It's too much work. You present the program. But if you can get someone to understand that they have the power to do it, that it's a block. Mm-hmm. It's a made up belief system that isn't true. You're way more powerful than you believe. You're creative. You're brilliant. You're beautiful. You're kind. You have all these things innately inside of you. They might not be currently manifesting because you don't have the tools. So what I've heard you say is, like, if you can heal the relationship, why would you bring, if you don't have these relationship tools and then you have a kid and then you have a second kid, a third kid, right, it can really undermine your relationship.
It can.
So if it took a lot of trial and error, because we were just sticking to it, and I'll credit my wife, reading books on how to communicate and some of the things that I learned and introduced into our relationship, it was super powerful, right? Not feeling guilty if she was mad at me. I'm like, I did nothing wrong and you're mad at me, and that's okay. But I'm not going to take on your energy. Like, so we can talk about this tomorrow, and if you can, you know, articulate outside of this energy and we'll come back to this, but not allowing that control codependent cycle to happen. So the reason I say all that is, if you can give at the foundational level, giving communication skills that really work, not what the therapist, you know, tells you a lot of the time. Some therapists are great and they do have these same tools, but wow, what a difference it made in our relationship.
And what I love what you said there is, you know, listening to her, maybe waiting till the next day. A lot of people don't think that they should wait until the next day to have a conversation.
Oh, because I learned in Christianity, I used to do that. And so I would fight late at night when I was first married, because I had this Christian belief that I needed to fight with my wife and so that we could go to sleep. I literally had that bad belief.
Yeah.
What a junky belief. I doubt the scripture even meant that.
Yeah.
But it was told from the pulpit. And so you believe the guy. You never tested the guy it to be true. You never made him read it in the Aramaic and look at the historical context. And there's so much wisdom there.
Yeah.
These are beautiful books, you know, full of wisdom and God solutions. But that screwed me for like the first year of my marriage.
Yeah.
And it was dirty. Like, we, you know, we went at it, you know?
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the other belief that I had, is that I knew as an adult, because I got married later in life, I knew it was going to be hard ass work. Yeah. I wasn't looking for her to make me happy. I just knew it was going to be really hard, and she was a beautiful soul and we had a lot of growing to do. I saw her faults, and I don't know if she saw mine, but I saw hers. She probably wouldn't have married me.
She probably did. But, you know, we do accommodate. And when we love someone, you know, the other thing is, I was saying this to my team recently. We have a yearly retreat. We go away for 3 days. We all go to the beach on Lake Huron and we have a lovely time. And on our last day, I said, understand, I love your quirks and faults the most of all of you. Because seeing those, otherwise if we're pure souls, everybody is light and sunshine, we know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But when you have a little something that kind of gets you in a certain kind of way, that's a part of you that I know I can love better. Mm-hmm. And when I love that part of you better, that's going to make you shine more. And I don't even know how. But isn't that an exciting thought?
However,
I can love that little dark corner of you, I can't wait when I nurture that piece of you to see how this shines.
Yeah, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
I hope people catch that, because that is one of the foundations that I build my life on. Mm-hmm. And many people think I'm crazy. If someone's abusing me, like I don't accept, I have enough energy to be like, that poor soul.
Yes.
How mm-hmm. can I love that part of them? Yeah. And I've shown my kids that, and my wife, and she's like, I don't know how you do it. It's because I learned somewhere along the line, the switch flipped on me. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is really what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. You know, historically, whether you believe he's the son of God or not, that's what he did, mm-hmm. right? And if that was a real principle, whether it's a prophet, savior, lunatic, whatever you believe him to be, he did that and it was effective historically. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. Because
yeah.
I think that's powerful. Let me see if it actually works, because the other way doesn't work.
Right.
Can I love this person for their quirks, for all this brokenness? We just talked to Reagan mm-hmm. about these abusive childhoods and how yeah. that reflects up. It's just that. It's not really who they are.
Right.
It's not the reflection. So how can I love that piece and see how they transform? And I've done it several times to some pretty nasty people. Mm-hmm. And not to the, I have certain people I haven't,
sure.
that I haven't done it
yes,
with yet, because I've been brave enough, because
okay,
I'm still so
time.
Scared. I have some wounds still that I'm working through. But wow, what a difference. And
it,
you should see how they respond. And sometimes it takes, for one individual, it took like 2 years of me just loving them and being kind and speaking into that darkness. And one of the things that my wife and I always say to each other, it's like, why would we fight about these quirks?
Right.
Because if I was gone or you were gone, we'd miss those quirks the most.
The most, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I, yes. And knowing that you are each other's champion, I think is so important, especially on a mission like fertility. Actually, it's for everything. But what I love about this being in the fertility journey and fertility space is it's before you have any disruptive two-year-old pulling at your pant leg, you know? So we want you to be in that connection of community. So start within your four walls, with your partner, then with your children, then with your family, then with your coworkers, then your community,
yeah.
your society, your globe. And we are watching the ripple effect happen right now. We're watching couples. So we have a couple who has a 7-year-old daughter, and they just had their baby with us. And she is learning those same skills that we're teaching to mom and dad. They've embraced it fully, the communication. And then the husband had the husband's sister who came and stayed with them for a weekend. And she learned what they were doing. She emailed them afterwards saying, basically, thank you for allowing me to be seen. And it's just ripple effect outside of their home. He started a men's group on Saturday mornings with men from church. So basically what we're teaching is getting out there and causing that ripple effect. When we can start it here in the beginning of family, and we can give that to our children, children are going to take that into schools. They're going to take that with their friends and go from there. And I think the other point you made of the dark shadows, I just want to point this out. When somebody comes at you and you feel it a certain mm-hmm. way, I encourage people to feel it.
Yeah.
So like in your body, like if all of a sudden somebody, you're having what you think is a normal conversation, and then they say something which is jarring, notice that it's jarring.
It makes
notice
me sick, actually.
Yeah. I get physically sick.
I never used to until I had healed my heart. I didn't feel any of that.
Yeah.
But now.
Isn't that interesting? Once you heal yourself, you feel it more
mm-hmm.
as opposed to less.
Oh,
so when people
gross.
Are feeling nothing.
And I get sick from it.
That's exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's walk through that for a minute. Just in this space, fertility or not. So when people are feeling nothing and they're like, I'm solid. I'm stone cold. It doesn't matter. Nothing affects me. I'm thinking, oh man, you have so much work to do, because you really need to start feeling inside of your body and being in touch with your own self. So when we feel sick, it's that whole feel that impact. And this is what I do. When I feel that impact with someone, I immediately stop. Some part of me stops for a minute. Don't react. Find a way to respond, right? Instead of just reacting right away. I don't believe you do, because of the way that you work with people, you know, but if we can stop for a minute.
Unless it's my kids.
Yeah. Oh, children. We'll talk about my daughter from this morning,
yeah.
but let's not.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's the main one.
That like, is
wife
that is it.
Wife is pretty good.
Yeah, but you know that what
90%,
it is, it's basically something in them that struck
more.
A chord,
yeah.
especially when you're in a healing space as you are healing.
Well, that's all they're doing.
Healing. Right. And so we're all constantly doing that. But when people are triggered because they don't want to be looking in the face, the fact that they aren't healing, which is fine. I mean, we find it when we find it, when we need it, and when we are most in trouble, I think, because otherwise there's no way out. But when you feel that from someone, it's so much easier now for me, and I'm sure for you, to understand that that's not mine. I think historically before healing, you feel that and you're like, it's a shame spiral of your own. You mm-hmm. feel badly, so you don't realize it's their emotion being projected on you. You think it's your own. Mm-hmm. So then you start ruminating or doing your own shame spiral from your own issues. And then that becomes more of a battle. And I think that's what happens a lot when it comes to couples.
Time, yeah.
It happens to people all the time. So now when we see somebody, it gets you in a certain place, in a certain way where you feel it. If you can say, wow, that person is suffering in a way that I don't know. That's all you need to say. You don't need to actually investigate more unless you want to. If it's someone close to you, you can. You might already know or have an idea. It might be something that has to do with old wounding patterns, or it might be an argument they had with their mom this morning. You never know. So that can be given a little grace, as it's not yours. And then it's up to you to choose how much you want to be in that space. How much do you want to invite that in to have a conversation, to say, to have them, you know, when somebody does that, armor up, right? We armor up. Let's try not to. Let's try to shields down, as you put it. Let's keep our shields down no matter what it feels like. Just keep those shields down.
You feel the pain.
You feel the pain. And then when you breathe in that, notice where it is in your body. Breathe in that space. Allow it to be there. Just sit in that space and it will dissipate. And this is part of the healing journey. It really does.
I met someone, I won't say where, just recently. And they start talking about, you know, how their business and the millions of dollars that they're making and like all that stuff. And I know them. And they act like it's coming from the right heart, at least my perception, based on what I see in their life and the perception that they give, right? And I don't want to get into the details, but when I was around them, I was physically sick after the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I was happy and kind. How you doing, brother? Let's send a picture. I did all the things through just loving, but it was pure effort to love them, because who they are and how they go about life, I disagree with, mm-hmm. right?
Bypassing.
And mm-hmm. I was physically sick for about an hour and it passed, mm-hmm. right? And I still love them, right?
Yes.
But being around that energy that doesn't align with mine, And it's okay, right? And this can be in any conversation we have. We could disagree. You can talk about all kinds of stuff that I might disagree with. And sometimes in podcasts, I get physically sick. I'm not going to judge it. Yeah. I'm going to feel it. Guess what? I didn't get sick at all during this podcast. I'm getting energized during this podcast. Yeah, because I love what you're doing. And so let's just wrap this up, because we do got to finish up. So foundationally, right? Yes. If I listen to everything that you're doing, you're healing families, starting with the husband and wife, teaching them how to have physical connection. And that's good. So they're literally our last baby was our love baby. We call our love baby because we were more mature, right? I mean, all of our children were intentional, was love. And we never used protection. We everything was intentional.
Optimizing DNA transcription, optimizing health of baby, egg and sperm development. There was some data that came out in November of 2023 saying that those of us with subfertility have a slight increased risk of autism. So if you go into that, that means good news. It's not the IVF drugs that are doing it. It's the subfertility that's doing it. But then if you go into IVF without a program like ours, you're bypassing the egg and sperm health aspect. So we bring that in, bring a couple into that connection and closeness, so then they can do the nutrition plan together, support each other, complain together. Mm-hmm. Here they can exercise together. They can say, I don't want to do it, babe. Come on, this is for the better, you know, the greater good. This is for our baby, and go from there. So we get them really in that connection, get them through our pillars, and they're allowed to stay in our community. We have a community-based group. We have 8 coaches, 3 men, 5 women. Our men are Mankind Project leaders, so they're all Jungian philosophy. They help men empower themselves, take them out of that emasculated space of infertility, and help them find their own sovereignty. We do the same with women. Community has demonstrated to be anti-inflammatory. And so we have a community that shows up. All 8 coaches show up day 1. We're community-based. Whole community with our couples come at the same time. So
there's so many people not in community right now.
There's not in community. And you know, community is anti-inflammatory. Blue zones, look at blue zones. If we've learned anything from blue zones, look there.
That's a whole, we'll save it for another podcast, but community was taken from us.
Yes.
From decisions, you know, I won't, you know, name what I think it is, but here's how I want to wrap it. The biochemist just came out. Man, are you smart? I mean, your mind is so sharp. Like, I wish I had that kind of power. But I foundationally, what I want to leave everyone with is that you are healing couples, communication, everything happens intentionally.
Yes.
And it, you're healing families ultimately, which is what I really love. When you start here and you're giving people tools, tools that once existed before you existed. If we go back to tribal communities, all that ancient wisdom, this is what there was the wise leader, the mama who's been through this, that knows how to deal with kids. There's a lovely book written. I don't remember what it was, but she went into all these ancient civilizations and how they raise their children. And it's the opposite of how the husband and wife interact, how they train their children. It's completely different than what we've learned from these textbooks of people who never knew how to raise children and didn't raise children and didn't have community, didn't have families. So when I think about what you're saying, you're getting you're just going back to to ancient wisdom.
We are.
And the energy, the quantum techniques that have been given to us through culture, through time, through heaven, and implanting them back into families like a seed that's growing healthy families, healthy children, that's having a ripple effect on society to create healthy families and healthy humans so that we can bring love and kindness and be balanced once again as a society, because we are out of balance in America. Hands down, we are out of balance.
We are.
And it's foundational tools that have been lost and taken out because of big money decisions. It's all money driven, mostly not conspiracy, even though the conspiracies are driven by money. And here you are, a brilliant human with a brilliant legacy behind you and taking it to the world. I mean, I just want to make sure that emotion comes out, because you are so brilliant. And I know that's what's underlying everything that you're doing, because we've had, you know, many conversations about this. And I think that's one of my strengths, is to really see what I can see your vision. Like, I look up above you, and when you're talking, you could quote studies all day, but when you're talking, I see this beautiful vision of what you're doing and how it's making this place a better world and how we're removing a massive toxin. And I think the toxins that I'm going to guess for you. Mostly I say at the end of our shows, if I had a magic wand and there's a toxin that I could remove, I'm going to guess it. And then I want you to tell me, but if I were to guess based on what I see coming out of you right now, it would be the toxicity of cultural poisons that have undermined families, our health, and our society, and the lost arts of what families and relationships and what families should look like would be the one that I would see. Now, you can use that one, put it in your own words, but if I could wave a wand, right? That's just what I see. If I was you, so that's just what I see. What would be the wand if you could wave? I don't want to say a wand, but if you could have the ability to remove a toxin from this world, what would it be?
Yes, I love how you put that. I think it would be the loss of the connection. All of those aspects that have lost the connection between people. Bottom of that,
the root,
is at the root is probably shame, and that is, inner child wounding, the ways that we start that at a young age, growing into this, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And it becomes such a subconscious issue that even the person that loves us most, our champion, our partner, we can't communicate with them. That person who supports us most, who we have the most to lose with, we tend to pull away from that person in that shame space. And that is, if we didn't have that disconnect that you were mentioning, that toxic culture piece, we wouldn't be there. We wouldn't be there. We would be able to find that connection with our partner and have that connection. I really do believe that. So it really is that shame spiral from that we groom from a young age as people, and the inability of society to actually say, it's okay. This is normal. You're worthy. I love you. Amen. And have that connect in that space.
That's so beautiful. What a great way to wrap it up. Thank you so much for being on the show. I can't wait to have you on again.
Thank you so much, Warren. It was my absolute pleasure to be here.